choice at that time. The wage, the total benefit package was worth putting in the time and applying for the city. Now I'm going to fast forward 20 years. The E&I staff has doubled in size to nearly 30 employees, and I'm still the fifth youngest in the shop. Why is this, you may ask? Well, it's very simple. Really, the retirement that once was help balancing out the lower wage, even 20 years ago, I took a $4 or $5 cut an hour to work for the city, but the total benefits package offset that. So at that time, the city had the draw to bring younger, career-minded, long-term employees. Now, I know that PERS is not totally under your control, but other things like benefits, especially wages, are so. It is up to you and the city to make the city no longer the employer of no choice, but back to the employer of choice. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rich Thalheimer. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of council. And I've worked for the City of Portland since 1999 as a parking code enforcement officer. I'm a member of the DCQ bargaining team, and I represent AFSCME 189. There's a lot of green back there. I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers in the parking enforcement division for all the hard work that they do, because they have one of the most thankless jobs in the city. In addition to generating over $6 million in citation revenue a year, their enforcement helped generate a record $33 million in parking meter revenue last year as well. We respond to 2,500 calls a month for service, and we've addressed 23,000 abandoned auto cases this year. I think they deserve a big thank you for the hard work that they do. In addition to writing parking citations, they also perform many other duties. We collect all the meter money from every meter in the city. We reserve all the spaces in the metered areas downtown. We do booting. We do first responder duties. We tow vehicles left and the right of way during snowstorms so the plows can get through. And more recently, we were on the front lines of the homeless crisis. We're out there dealing with the people living in their RVs, knocking on doors, getting them the social services and assistance they need. We're one of several classifications requesting a selective increase. Our request is based on our added duties and the city's own class comp study that shows the code enforcement series is paid at least 10% below market. We perform code enforcement work, but since we have the stigma of being meter maids, I don't feel that we're recognized for the code enforcement work that we do, and we're not paid on the same scale as the other code specialists. The DCTU has been clear on its stance about an across-the-board increase for all of its members. We gave up the first-year cost-of-living adjustment in the previous contract, and we gave up half of the cost-of-living adjustment in the current contract because of a bad economy. The economy has now rebounded, and our members are asking to get back what they've sacrificed. What we've seen in bargaining so far is a lack of movement on the city's part. We submitted our financial package early on in bargaining, yet it took the city another 70 days for the city to respond with a financial proposal. I feel that the city is engaged in bad faith bargaining again. It appears to have been a calculated move, though, to draw out bargaining in order to settle contracts with the laborers and PTE 17, and then to force the DCTU to accept what they settled for. Well, I've got news for you. That's not enough for the DCTU. We're bargaining our own contract. We're not bargaining a master contract for all of the other labor organizations in the city. But if you do want to force a contract on us, feel free to force the police PPA contract that gave them 3% a year for 3 years. We would be happy to take that. So several things our members are asking for is an across-the-board increase, no HIPAA release. They value their health insurance information, full retro payback to July, and keeping the internal promotion language from being eliminated. In all my years working for the city, I've never seen this amount of underlying resentment for how employees have been treated. Every day I get asked, when are we going on strike? If we're pushed to a strike, here's a few things to consider. Who will perform the several hundred inspections at BDS, and how many construction sites and jobs will be delayed because of it? Who will make sure that the water is flowing to the faucets and ensure that the water is clean? Who will write the $20,000 to $30,000 a day in parking tickets? This is what our membership wants and deserves. Please step up and be our employer of choice. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Tony Bush. I work for the City Fleet. I'm a member of the DCTU bargaining team, and I represent the machinists. I'm going to touch on something Rich mentioned, and that is I've worked for the city for 10 years, and in those 10 years, I've been on the previous two contract negotiations as well. And a pattern has come to my attention. I mean, I'm a limited-time employee, but it seems as though contracts get drug out substantially long after the contract has expired, and this year seems to be no different. However, the biggest difference between this negotiation session and the previous two is the previous two, the city has come to the table and we've seemed to have been able to work out and continue making progress throughout the bargaining, which makes it a little easier to justify dragging it out as long as we do. This time, however, we were asked to bring a financial proposal to the table early so it could be looked at. And as others have mentioned, it has taken a long time to get that back. It took, I think, something of the tune of 70 days to get a response, which was just a supposal that was good for that day. And the supposal was nowhere in the same stratosphere as what ours was, nor did it touch on any of the issues of why the differences were so great. I think that, to me, that was showing a start of the bad faith bargaining that was to come, was waiting so long to get back. And then when we do come to the table, it's for 2 hours a day, once a week. Well, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, maybe 3 hours some days. But it seems as though the city has a hard deadline that they leave the table at 4 o'clock, or they leave mediation at 5 o'clock, when there's room to be made on our, we have issues that we can talk about. There's movement that can be made. Why leave then? Why can't we get this done? You're saving money off of the backs of the employees that do all the hard labor work for the city. And to us, that's not right. We just want to get this, we want to get a fair contract. We want to get it resolved soon so everybody can get back to work. We can put the sideline grumblings that are happening in all the shops in the past, and everybody can focus on the future. That's not even at all what I wrote down, so I'll just give the rest of my time to someone else.
That's a good statement, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Chris Montgomery with Local 701 and the DCTU. I represent the Water Bureau and the FMTs that keep the lights on in this facility. I'm going to piggyback on my brother here and sort of on my brothers and sisters here as well. Although this is my first bargaining session with the DCTU in the city, it is quite frustrating that I work a salary position. The city management team comes to us and they work a salary position, I would assume. But if I can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work and then go home at 9 o'clock at night to bargain sessions, bargain contracts and things like that, then why can't they? Why does it seem that they have banker's hours in order to leave? It doesn't make sense to me. The other thing is you send a chair that has little to no power. So he comes in for a couple of hours, half the management team shows up, and then they leave at a selective special time with no work being done. It doesn't make any sense. This seems systematic to me. It really does. Over the last couple of years, it sounds like this has happened over and over again. And I have to tell you, even though this is my first time as a newcomer, it seems very frustrating. So it's got to be very frustrating to all of the members in green and the other hundreds and hundreds of other members for the city that work hard for you every day. The other point I want to make is that the HIPAA release that you guys are asking for, why would I expose, or they expose, their health to the public? And when I say that there's no open, there's no closed loop system to protect that. You're asking the members to do something preposterous. It's ridiculous. As I said, and I mentioned that I represent the FMTs, you have offered no raise for the FMTs for this contract. Although the CPI has went up and up and up, and now it's 2.9%. What are you guys thinking? What's going on here? I don't think you guys understand the impact that you're creating for the DCTU and our members, but I believe that you'll soon understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
My name is Mary Protzman. I'm a DCTU bargaining team member and part of the professional staff at the Police Bureau. In November 2016, we began trying to pick dates to meet with the city. We agreed to meet on December 8th. That meeting and a few dates in January were canceled due to snow. On December 22nd, we received a final order from the Employee Relations Board ruling that your labor relations manager, Jarrell Gaddis, bargained in bad faith over the implementation of the $15 an hour minimum wage that this council agreed to in 2015. I was part of that interim bargaining team and can attest to the obstinate lack of conversation regarding the impacts, never mind actual negotiations. We finally met our current contract for our current contract negotiations on January 5th, agreed to ground rules, and agreed that January 12th would be the start of the 150-day bargaining timeline required under the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act. I left feeling optimistic that BHR was possibly going to be something more akin to a partner navigating the process rather than a barrier, as has been our past experience. On March 30th, was the deadline to approve new offers. We provided a complete financial package that day, shooting blind with no idea what the city might or might not be willing to even discuss. On January 8th, we received a supposal, which is a type of non-binding proposal, and the first we had actually seen of anything resembling the city's financial package. This happened 3 days before we passed the 150-day bargaining timeline on June 11th. On June 29th, we received an actual complete counterproposal from the city that was titled as such. It was essentially the same previous proposal retitled. The union's team provided a counter the same day. On July 27th, we provided yet another complete proposal to the city, bargaining against ourselves and continuing to try different ideas to spark productive dialogue. On July 31st, the city requested mediation. On July 17th, we received a second complete counterproposal, virtually the same as before. On September 6th, the union's team provided yet another proposal to the city. And this last Monday, September 25th, the city provided a counterproposal during mediation, moving a little and offering back pay to January 1st, 2016 for police classifications they failed to bargain in good faith over back in 2015. Here is what we, the unions of the DCTU, are asking. Justice for the police professional staff for your labor relation manager's failure to bargain in good faith. Address the class comp issues, most of which have been outstanding since we raised them in 2010. Provide some additional increase to offset the COLAs that we have given up during the lean times and to account for the out-of-control Portland housing market. This includes a retroactive COLA for these negotiations. Everything else, we're fine with being status quo. When you see this long list of issues, that's what we need to accept the concessions the city is demanding. You have given lip service to trying to become an employer of choice. We are already employees of choice, and we make this city work, and our demands have not been made in a vacuum. We continue to be far apart on issues most important to your employees, and the city's team seems to be too overwhelmed to have meaningful conversation that will inspire movement, compromise, and settlement. They have even professed to have no strategy for this round of bargaining. It is for these reasons, and those my fellow City of Portland employee representatives have already shared,
we declare impasse.
Sorry to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Certain, please.
Shall we have the consent agenda?
Oh, yeah. My understanding is there are four items that have been pulled for discussion.
And we have one more also.
One more. So I have 1058, 1062, 1063, 1064, and what do you have?
And then this morning, 1061.
And 1061 is also. Call the roll on the remainder.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Consent agenda is adopted. Let's go back to